Hello and welcome to Target Zero Hunger, a podcast that explores the food challenges and solutions of our time. Brought to you by the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization. I'm your host, Sandra Ferrari. What you're hearing is the sound of a group of researchers launching a drone over a field in the Philippines, one of the world's most at-risk countries for tropical storms and other disasters. In this episode, we'll explore what drone technology has to offer for agriculture. We'll hear more about how drones are assisting the government in planning future agricultural interventions that make the farming sector stronger and better prepared for natural disasters. We will also talk to a researcher at Kansas State University in the United States, who's running a project that uses drones to detect pests in commercial wheat fields to prevent and control major outbreaks. These days, drones hardly need any explanation at all. But for the record, these unmanned aerial vehicles, or UAVs, are a type of flying robot that can be controlled remotely. They come in all shapes and sizes, some so small that they fit in the palm of your hand, and others, well, they look as big as a two-seater plane. Their early use for military purposes gave them a bad rep. But increasingly, researchers, aid organizations, governments, and private companies are exploring the many ways drones can be used for good. From tracking rhino poachers to search and rescue missions and delivering medicine to remote areas, but also for smarter food production.
This is a look inside perhaps one of the strongest storms in recorded history.
Super Typhoon Haiyan has made a direct hit on the island.
Over the past decade, earthquakes, typhoons, and floods have claimed thousands of human lives in the Philippines and periodically left parts of the land's infrastructure and economy in tatters. Unfortunately, such disasters impact heavily on farms and food systems. In fact, in 2013, Typhoon Haiyan alone devastated 600,000 hectares of farmland and caused over $700 million in damages to the agriculture sector. As the country continues to increasingly experience the impacts of climate change, the government of the Philippines and FAO have launched a drone initiative in order to use the technology for disaster risk reduction in the agriculture sector.
And the estimated length of the mission, 23 minutes. How many hectares?
Around 90 hectares. 23 minutes.
Under a pilot phase, some 25 FAO and government technical experts are ready to be deployed across the islands to support drone missions whose first goal is to assess where farmlands are most at risk from natural disasters and quickly assess damages after they strike. Because they can cover up to 600 hectares a day, the drones can significantly speed up the process of risk analysis. But to make sure they are effective, every mission requires thorough organization, and technical experts have to go through a series of crucial steps before sending the two drones to the sky.
They were hit badly by El Nino.
I had a short chat with Farmer John, and he said their harvest was reduced to half.
Jamie Reyes and Seda Maglikmot work for the Department of Agriculture in the Philippines and are part of this group of technical experts. The two of them were recently trained over the course of 3 weeks on how to fly the drones.
Can I just double check? How many hectares are we targeting for our flights tomorrow?
Riza Espenido is a technical and operations assistant at FAO. She's also a phantom drone specialist and one of the so-called spotters of the drone operations team. This means that she tracks the course of the drones and assists the controller in case of emergency. Like Jamie and Seda, she has learned a range of remote aerial assessment methods.
100! sa mga buwan na.
Hold, stabilize on.
Camera off.
Doon na lang mamaya sa kapila.
Yes.
Altitude 70 meters. 85 meters inbound.
The drones are equipped with navigation and photogrammetric equipment, which is basically a camera that takes very detailed aerial photos from different angles, which allows the team to later generate detailed and data-rich maps and images. In addition to crop assessments, the data generated from drone flights can also help the government plan where to initiate infrastructure projects that can benefit local farmers like irrigation or storage facilities. The technology also makes it easier for authorities to monitor the environment and assess how coastal and forest areas are doing.
Okay na lang?
Okay na,
landing na tayo.
Okay, landing, landing, landing. Sa harap, friend.
Kasi maglalan na eh.
The drone data collected by the Department of Agriculture and FAO can play a major role in advising farmers and fisherfolk. With reliable information on new pests and diseases, for instance, or on areas where land has been damaged and crops are not growing properly, farmers can take better decisions on where to put their resources and protect their livelihoods. Riza, Jamie, and Zeta, and the other people on the team, hope that the initiative will be extended to other local government units across the Philippines. And FAO, too, is looking into ways to use this technology in other regions for a variety of monitoring purposes. One of those areas where drones could come in handy is controlling pests in crop fields. To find out more about the use of drones, I talked to Brian McCornack, an associate professor of entomology at Kansas State University in the United States, who came to FAO in Rome to present his work. He and his team recently launched a three-year project together with Australia's Queensland University of Technology. The project reflects a growing interest in both countries to find out what ways emerging technologies like drones can be used to make detecting plant-based threats more efficient. I reached Brian at his office at Kansas State to find out about the kinds of pests and diseases he's tracking and the benefits of using drones to do it. A note to listeners, Brian refers to drones as UAS, which is short for Unmanned Aerial Systems. Here's Brian.
Primarily, the system we work in is wheat, and we're targeting cereal aphids, primarily Russian wheat aphid and bird cherry oat aphid and green bug. We're also looking at other pests like hessian fly. Two of these, which happen to be invasive species for Australia, which is another reason why we're working with Australian colleagues on this particular grant, is to understand the data that we're collecting here in a landscape where those pests actually reside and how do we detect those using unmanned aircraft systems. We've expanded this a little bit more outside of wheat, mainly because a primary objective of that grant is to really understand the utility and or limitations of UAS technology to remotely sense pests. And to do that, you know, at least what we're learning is that when you change to a new system, you go from wheat to sorghum, you start to deal with some more complicated issues, where the fruiting bodies change, where pests feed within the canopy change. So the signatures that we look for in images are going to change in correspondence to where the insects are, what kind of damage they're causing.
Brian and his team work with a small drone called Inspire, which only weighs a few kilos. The device has 8 blades and is equipped with a camera, sensors, and a GPS transceiver. It's battery-powered and can fly for about 30 to 40 minutes with a drone operator controlling it from the ground. The high-resolution system Brian's team uses can generate images with pixels that are so precise that if they were to walk into the field to find that spot, they can get within a couple centimeters of the area that that pixel is referring to.
I think one of the more immediate value we can get from the technology is simply changing our perspective. I'll give you an example of this. We were contacted by a grower just in north central Kansas who was having some problem with hessian fly in one of his wheat fields. And he was working with their insurance company on trying to determine whether or not they should, you know, put it to pasture, if they should till it and replant it, trying to figure out what their options were. So we met with them out there and took advantage of this and got some aerial imaging for a presentation I was going to give later. But we went out and started sampling, and where we were sampling, we were not necessarily seeing the issues that they thought they were seeing. And we were having a hard time kind of making this decision on what to do next. And so our plan of action was to come back in a week and reassess the situation. And during that, we were doing some orbit flight with our Inspire, which has a really good camera, and we're taking some video of it. We come back and we start looking at the video, and we were seeing a lot more that we weren't necessarily seeing in the field. That was literally 10 to 15 feet away from us.
So drones allow researchers and farmers to zoom out, so to speak, and get a bird's eye view of an area of farmland that can help them assess the full scope of the situation on the ground. But Brian and his team are interested in using the drones for more than just an eye in the sky, rather providing a more well-rounded perspective of a problem area. He's also exploring ways to equip drones with robotic capabilities to collect insect samples or set traps.
Maybe we need to actually collect a leaf to see if there's rust spores on it, to see if there's an aphid on the bottom side of the leaf. So part of our project is actually looking at the potential for what we call widgets, so little devices that we can add to a UAS or take off as needed to actually remotely collect a sample. Overall, the project is more about how do we optimize the practices that we currently use to detect invasive species.
So drone technology is interesting for the ease of it and collecting data, etc., but it's also a costly technology. I asked Brian if he thinks it's worth investing in.
For the system we fly, it has a pretty decent payload on it, so we can actually carry quite a few sensors. It's got a flight time of anywhere from 30 to 40 minutes, depending on, again, what we're carrying on it. A fixed wing, however, could cover a much larger area and have a flight time up to 45 minutes to an hour. But the technology itself may only be about $2,000 to $3,000. You know, considering how much acreage you could be covering, you know, how much manageable land you're going to be covering, the cost of the technology is not much. Where you're really going to be getting into the cost is really the person who's flying it. I think that will only change as the technology of UAS gets better and as regulations relax a bit. Some of that might actually deal more with the safety requirements of the UAS. As that improves, I think it's going to be even more cost effective. You know, for us, our average farm size might be around 1,000 to 1,200 acres. The cost of that technology might only be $2 or $3 an acre to fly.
So what does Brian think is the main value of the project he's working on, and how does he think it benefits the future use of drones?
I think where some of the greatest value of the research we're doing is providing some of that baseline data, some guidance on the types of pests that best relate to signatures that really can be detectable with the technology we have. I think the coolest part in all this is, you know, we're working with bioag engineers who are the ones that are developing the sensors. You know, and as the sensor technology gets better and hopefully cheaper, because that's really one of the limiting factors is, you know, we talked about the price of the UAS, but really where most of the limitations are the sensor technologies. I mean, to fly a hyperspectral cam, which gives you a lot more bands, a lot more flexibility and indices and something that might be predictable for a pest, might run around $80,000 for one camera. Oh. In 4 or 5 years time, if there's a significant amount of demand, then that price can be reduced quite a bit. All of a sudden, there's a lot more utility in the technology. So I think some of the deliverables that our grant will have is kind of showing how to optimize the technology that we currently have, realizing there might be some limitations in the sensor technology for a given pest. But the bottom line is simply changing perspective actually adds quite a bit to what you might be sampling out in the field. So even if you ground truth it, you know that the pest is there, spend another 20 minutes flying over that area and now have high resolution imaging that you can stitch together to kind of go along with your ground truth data. Again, provides a stronger zero or presence of a particular pest in an area. I think that's, you know, some more of the immediate value that this particular project can provide is figuring out how to use that perspective data to inform a management decision.
Cost is not the obstacle per se, according to Brian, but there are still some challenges to take into account when we look at the ways to use this technology more widely. One of them being, who's going to analyze all of this data?
You know, as much as we can fly and get the data, but what do we do with the data? It's not a trivial task ahead of us. For example, that flight I talked about earlier over a small area might have taken up 40 to 50 gigs worth of images. That's something that we're not going to be able to upload to the cloud and get analyzed. We might have to have some software that's with us in the field to do that. But at the end of the day, if we're covering thousands of hectares of land, where's that data going to go? And then who's going to be able to look at it to help understand how to interpret the data and make a management decision from it? Drones have had a buzz in the media at least for the last 2 or 3 years. And what we're really pushing is to make sure our stakeholders, our growers, and our consultants really understand what the current limitations of the technology are and where we're headed. And part of that is about using these technologies to maximize yields, at least in the terms of agriculture.
That was Brian McCormack, Associate Professor of Entomology at Kansas State University. As the evolution of drone technology continues, application for their use in agricultural sectors can only be expected to improve. From the monitoring of disaster areas and disease outbreaks, to the assessment of lands threatening to become potential drought areas, drones are proving to be useful tools for ensuring food security, for their efficiency, but also for the wealth of data they can collect. As Brian pointed out, however, there still are some lingering questions on what to do with all of that information. In next week's podcast, we'll continue to take a closer look at some of the nuts and bolts behind how FAO is assisting countries leverage other technologies like remote sensing to support food security. This episode has been produced by Kim Jenna Yurians, Anaïs Hotin, and myself. If you have any questions or feedback for us, write to fao-audio@fao.org. I'm Sandra Ferrari. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to listen to the full interviews from experts featured in this episode, visit our webpage at www.fao.org/news/podcast for more information about this series.